You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sossman. Thank you for joining us here on this very morning, 8 a.m. in the East, 5 a.m. in the West, getting you ready for your morning as you head to work. We are the Roto Experts, and guys, we have spent all weekend long digesting this Ezekiel Elliott suspension. And man, I hope we have come to some sort of agreement and consensus, because this is the hardest thing to predict in fantasy, I'm going to say, of all time. I believe it. It is the hardest thing to predict in fantasy of all time, because there are that many variables.
Bigger than the Josh Gordon thing from a couple years ago when we thought Josh was coming back?
I think so, because you thought he was coming back. I think there's so many different variables here. And let me go. Right. So now we have some information. He's suspended for, Ezekiel Elliott is suspended for 6 games right now. 7 consecutive weeks. Now, everyone has a bye week. I get that. But he will not be with you the first 7 weeks of the season. That is over half of the amount of regular season games that you play in fantasy football in a standard league where you play off start in week 14. So that's what we know. Here's what can happen, and will happen. Ezekiel Elliott will appeal his suspension of 6 games. That will come tomorrow. The appeal will be heard within 10 days of tomorrow, either by Harold Henderson or by the person that gave him said suspension, Roger Goodell.
F him.
One of those two men will hear this appeal. Ultimately, the suspension will either stay at 6 games, yeah, or will be reduced more than likely to 5 or 4. Nothing more significant than that. So that's a possibility. If the appeal does not go in Ezekiel Elliott's favor, which it probably will not, or not to his satisfaction, Ezekiel Elliott will have the ability to then sue the NFL, sue Roger Goodell, and sue probably some other people in the decision-making process, and go take the NFL to court, much like Tom Brady did over the deflated footballs.
Yep.
So that is also an option on the table. If that happens, there is an opportunity that Ezekiel Elliott will not miss a single game in 2017 and potentially push his suspension back a year to 2018, much like Tom Brady did. All of these balls are in the air when it comes to Zeke, which makes drafting him in fantasy the biggest conundrum I think we've ever had because of the stature of this player. Just 1 month ago, when there were just rumors surrounding Ezekiel Elliott, as he kind of bringing it up to the forefront, he was going number 3 overall. That's what makes a difference from Josh Gordon. This is 3 overall for Ezekiel Elliott. Now, where in the heck do we draft them? That's the question we have to figure out. That's the question we need to come to a consensus on. That is a question we need to answer when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Throughout the questions to Wall Street, to the king, and to the fantasy executive, I laid out the situation and all of the variables and possibilities when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. Gentlemen, it is on you now to help our listeners, to help our viewers, and to help us make the right call. Fantasy executive, you were very, very passionate when he knew Ezekiel Elliott on Friday morning's program before the suspension became official.
People on YouTube were very mean to me. They called me everything but a child of God. They did. But it happens. I can take it, too.
You've had 3 days now to process the suspension, to process the possibilities coming out of the suspension.
He deserves the suspension.
So, Oh, you've come back around now.
I read what the NFL had said about the situation. He deserves this suspension.
So you're taking back some of the things that you said. What did he do?
I'm taking some of that.
Fire Roger
there.
Goodell.
All right. Well, he's not taking that back.
That's separate.
Yeah. You're taking back the he didn't do nothing and whatnot. Okay.
I'm taking that back. They went in there. Did they do diligence? Of course they do double jeopardy, but you know how this is.
Fine. And that's kind of on one side.
Yeah.
We know all the variables surrounding Ezekiel Elliott. When we are drafting him, and as we said this morning, $100 league, that's your most important league. $1,000 league, that's your most important league. It doesn't matter. We know how important these leagues are to you, no matter what the price is. So, Corey, you have one important league. I don't want to hear, I had 10 leagues, I'm going to do this in one of whatever. You have one
My
league.
My situation is a little bit different. Because I already got him in two spots. And I got him in two spots with some cash on it. And I got him in a spot with some bread on it. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
But that was pre.
Correct.
But I drafted that team thinking he could not be there.
Not six.
Yeah, no. And so it was running back depth. Now, what you want to look at now, I thought this past weekend what happened in the flex, I think they were aggressive on Ezekiel Elliott this week. And I don't really like
it. Tell everybody where they went in flex.
Huh?
Tell everybody where he went in the flex league.
And the non PPR, he went on the 1-2 turn. Okay. So maybe about 2-3. And then the flex cut, where'd he go, Matt?
Fourth round, Mike Florio took him. I would have took him if Florio did.
Yeah. So now, but obviously that's
a super flex.
That's
skewed
because the quarterback pushed it down. So you might say that's third round. I think that 2-3 turn is where it's at. Probably play a 23-27 overall going off
two,
the board.
2-3 turn.
On that 2-3 turn is a spot. Now, if you do it, you got to understand, you're going to need the Jaquizz Rodgers. You're going to need the,
Darren McFadden.
You're going, well, not really. I think he's a bum. You're going to need the kid Terrence West. You're going to need players.
Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman. You know what I'm saying? You're going to need the players that you can pop in there and to ease the burden until you get Elliott. If you take him, you have to understand that you got to build this thing right, or else he's not. You're talking about when you get to week 7, it's going to be over, so you're not going to have to worry about it in the first place at all. So you got to build it right. Don't just think, like somebody hit me up the other day, right? And they was like, yo, I got the first pick in my draft. It's a keeper league. I'm keeping DeMarco Murray. I got the first pick. I'm going to take David Johnson. If Zeke is there, yeah, you do that. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
You do that. And a lot of people would play in these leagues where you don't start that third wide receiver, where you start two running backs, two wide receivers in the flex.
Mm-hmm.
In those type of leagues, take them. Because you can get them in those type of leagues, you can sit them on your bench, and you can still build enough depth to the point where when you do get to that second half of the season, he could be a player to give you a push, and he's not going to hamstring you as much as this time in the early part of the season.
All right, so Corey, your answer ultimately is that 2-3 turn, because either you get the 6-game suspension at worst, a 4-game suspension in the middle, or if he doesn't miss anything at all, you got a steal, of course, in that second, third turn.
If he doesn't miss anything at all and you get him in these next 10 to 15 days or so, cooking.
So there you go. Second, third round turn. Scott, you have...
Didn't the same thing happen with Brady? Because...
Sure.
It's the same thing, but see, he's a quarterback. Quarterback is different because the quarterbacks are the same.
And it's a little bit different. It's that deflated footballs, right? Like, that is a major difference than the
I'm
one...
I'm talking about draft stock.
Okay, yeah. Draft stock. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Scotty, you have tended to be more conservative with players. I know this year you've kind of gone out there with some guys that you love. Of course, Cooper Kupp being the popular one. Some of these other injured guys and younger guys, Sam Perine, you've been on record about how much you love him as well. So you've been kind of adamant about some of these more chances that you're taking during fantasy leagues this summer. But with Ezekiel Elliott, you've tended to be conservative. Corey says the second, third round turn. Is that too rich for your blood?
It is. I don't have a problem with people who do it. You know, I'm not telling people that necessarily don't do it. But for me, I now have him at 22 in my updated ranks on rotoexperts.com. Running back in the exclusive edge package. Enter the king code for a special discount. Because I want more of a sure thing that I know he's going to start. Because I don't know. Like you said, there's a lot of balls in the air here now. You know, he could miss 6 games. That's half your fantasy season right there. I want to know where the guy where he's pretty much locked into the job or most of the job, that he's not going to miss any games out of the gate. And, you know, look, other people might disagree with me here, but when you miss 6 games too and it doesn't happen to everybody, I worry about conditioning. You know, it's a minor concern for me that, you know, maybe he comes back and he's not quite – up to condition, and it could mean an injury, etc. It's not foremost in my mind, but I can't. I'll be lying if I say it's not in the back of my mind. There's probably 20 guys I'll take ahead of him. He's not going to end up on any of my teams, but like Corey, you know, I already drafted him in Scott's Fishbowl, like number 3 overall. So I'm going to ride with it. And yeah, you need those kind of other, you know, other guys like a Terrence West, etc. You know, that are probably going to be able to flow in there if you don't have Ezekiel Elliott. So for me, I'm probably not looking to like mid to late fourth round. But you know, if somebody I'm not going to get him. If somebody else jumps early, I'm not going to say it's crazy either.
Like I said, the NFL has done its due diligence here. They are prepared. They got 4 experts. They built a case here. Like I said, I haven't seen any of the evidence or anything, so I'm just going off of what I've heard from the people in the so-called know. They are prepared for this. They knew when they handed this down, you know, Jerry Jones was going to lose it. You know, it's the Cowboys. Elliott was going to fight it. And everything that I'm hearing is, and they still can discipline him for other actions besides this domestic violence. I don't really see this getting reduced. If it does, it's maybe a game if they work out a deal where he says, I'm not going to sue or something like that. But I think he's going to be out for the 6 games. And like I said, if I have the first or second pick, he becomes appealing on the 2-3 turn because I have a David Johnson or a Lev Bell that can overcome a lot of water on my team. Otherwise, he's much more apt to me in a 3-4 turn. Now, it's depending. If I have that one team and that one team only, it's going to be difficult to pull the trigger on Zeke.
Don't do it.
It really is. If I'm playing in the overall format where, you know, if I get him back for that second half of the season and I have him for the playoff, that's a lot more appealing. And I'll take on more risk. I'll map out my team. I mean, you have to have a strategy. You have to be confident enough that you can build the correct roster with a player is coming, missing 6-7 games with the bye week, all that stuff. So it's, I would say if you're going to do it, you need to be well prepared.
Hey, so peep this. Let me read everybody this starting lineup right here.
Sure.
Kirk Cousins, Isaiah Crowell, Kareem Hunt, Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, Jamison Crowder, Jimmy Graham, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin. What do we think?
I think it's okay.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott's on that team.
You just need Hunt to be. I believe in Hunt.
You need Hunt to start making good on all the hype.
If Hunt is not making good on the hype, also on this team is Rob Kelly, Devontae Booker, Alfred Morris, Deonta Foreman.
This is two weeks ago.
I was so locked in. I don't know. Did I pop one this night? I was so locked in right here where I was thinking to myself, you know, even if the Zeke thing do come down, I still got enough. You know, balance in the running back core to where it works. Greg is shaking his head. You acting like you don't like the team, Greg. I've never seen Greg Sussman draft a team like this before in my life.
Well, maybe he will this weekend.
GST, everyone. GST.
What's wrong with that team, Greg? What's wrong with that?
I think there's a lot of question marks, man.
Where's the question marks at? Isaiah Crowell, Kareem Hunt, where's the question mark?
Kareem Hunt's a great start.
All right. The wide receivers, Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate, Jamison Crowder, where's the question mark? Where's the question mark?
The wide receivers.
That's 90 catches, everybody right there. Well, maybe not Crowder, but he can be a 90 catch dude. Jimmy Graham, DeSean Jackson. Where's the question marks at, Greg?
Why? To me, those guys are not guaranteed.
Who's not guaranteed?
Are you guaranteed touchdowns? What about touchdowns?
Touchdowns? I don't worry about touchdowns.
Oh, so okay. So that's my question.
I don't worry about touchdowns. In the PPR, the catches, I can predict the catches. I'm not trying to predict the touchdowns. I have weeks, Greg, where I win fantasy football contests against my opponent, and my team won't score no touchdowns.
That's probably not a great recipe for success.
It's worked for me.
Your team scoring no touchdowns.
It's worked for me.
That's very dangerous.
This is why I'm here. They brought me here, right?
They brought you here.
They brought me here.
They brought you here. they certainly did. All right, so there you go.
They brought me here, Scott.
Guys. Yes, I did.
Scott, take credit.
So there's Ezekiel Elliott. Corey's the higher guy on Ezekiel Elliott at this table than anybody else. Corey, how much do you pay for him at an auction?
Auction is tough. I don't think I want to go over 30. 32 to 35. I'm probably not going to do it. I'm done with him. To be honest with you, I'm out. I already got two things with him more, and I'm out.
You're out. You're out.
I'm out on Zeke.
Scott, how much you paying for him at auction?
I'll top out at 25.
Matt,
25, 30 tops.
All right, there you go. We hope that helps. When we come back, we'll break down the other side of it. It's Darren McFadden, or is it Alfred Morris? Next on the Roto Experts. Little update on something we talked about earlier on, and that was Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews, according to Adam Schefter just one moment ago, has what the team is calling a chip fracture in his sternum, and is week to week. It doesn't sound good.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. You know, we go from a guy with a bad foot to a bum knee with a chip sternum. It's the Buffalo Bills way.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Darren McFadden seems to be the biggest beneficiary of Ezekiel Elliott's potential suspension. And yet, Corey, you have gotten on the radio here, and you've gotten on television, and you've said Darren McFadden is a bum.
He is. I think Darren McFadden's washed. I think he's done. 29 years old, Darren McFadden didn't really play at all last year. Last time we did see him, he did what he put. I think he put up a 1,000-yard season running behind that line, but that was 2 years ago. Everybody pulling Darren McFadden up the draft board. I would take a flyer on Rod Smith or Alfred Morris a little bit later on. I'm not fooling with Darren McFadden. If you're pulling him, if you get Darren McFadden, please do so in double-digit rounds. If you're getting Darren McFadden and you're paying for him in the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th just because you need that protection until Zeke come back or you want a piece of the Dallas Cowboy offense, draft Dak Prescott or Dez Bryant and leave Darren McFadden on the board.
You say he's 29 years old, Corey, though, but really, is it, we've talked about this before. Is it age or tread on your tires? You know, the guy didn't start for a lot of years.
For years, everybody would stay away from the dude because of how his injury history.
Right.
So now, as an old man, he's healthier?
No, but what I'm saying is, it's like he hasn't even hit 30 yet, you know, and there's, you know, there's years where he didn't even start. So it's not like he's like got a lot of wear and tear on him. Like, yeah, he does get injured, but, you know, you're only asking for 6 games of him.
When you see Darren
McFadden, how many games
did
he play 2-3 years ago when he got 1,000 yards?
I don't. When
you played like the full schedule.
But yeah, but when you see him break, when you see Darren McFadden break a 20, 30-yard run, you feel what I'm saying? That's a running back. That's not just somebody treading through the line, picking up a first down, averaging 3.9 yards a pop, 4.2 yards a pop. Zeke Elliott, I need somebody that's going to give me 4.5 a pop, that can break a 20-yard run, a game-changing type player. Darren McFadden is not that guy.
Do they have that on the roster?
It could be. I think Alfred Morris can play. And the kid, Rod Smith, they like him a lot. But it's on other rosters. You feel what I'm saying? You don't have to have the handcuff. It's not mandatory.
Well, I will say, you know, I can see reservation with McFadden, but I will say it's not because of age necessarily. But, you know, that there is a school of thought out there, and it was, we saw it when the FSTA draft a few years ago, you know, after they lost Murray in 2015, that he went in the second round, because there's a lot of people out there that figures anybody who runs behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is going to get you numbers, whoever they plug in.
You know who was the
in.
Man that year people was drafting? Joe Randle. It wasn't even McFadden. People was drafting Joe Randle.
No, McFadden went in the second round of the FSTA
well,
draft.
That was
Colton
and the Wolfman. They was but playing what baseball. Saying, Scott, they don't know what
but
they're doing.
But what I'm
doing.
Saying is, though, what I'm saying is, though, bear with me here, is like there's a lot of people that are going to have that mentality. It's a Dallas Cowboy running back starting for six
it's
games.
It's the wrong mentality.
Right. I'm just saying. I'm not necessarily subscribing to it, okay? Dallas for six games, you're going to get the starter in the Dallas backfield. I have him at 28 right now overall. I think if he's there in the fifth round, then I'll do it.
In the fifth round?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Hey, listen,
why is he trying to do this to me? I've been working with you, Scott, since June, and you still throw these wild numbers out there.
I don't need to listen to you.
Yes, you do, Scott. If you're talking about Darren McFadden in the fifth round, Scott, you do need to listen. Scott, that's not where you draft him at.
What round do you take him in? What round do you take him?
The earliest you take him is in the eighth or ninth round, and I'm not going to do it
there. I'm good with that.
Thank you, Scott. Please, listen.
That's a
I got a belt downstairs.
Yeah, well, I got many trophies at home. All right? Look, fifth round, there's too many of them. I'll take a picture of them.
Thank you.
Like, fifth round.
Sean did say he's got a whole bunch of trophies in there. Sean did say that.
Yeah. Look, fifth round, maybe too aggressive. Seventh, I'll take the shot, okay, you know, for the context. But, you know, I'm not writing off Darren McFadden quite as much as you. I do have him ahead of Lacey. just for your edification. Two spots.
You know, it's
Lacy.
Funny about it. I got him on. I got him below Lacy. Yeah.
That's funny. Cannot do that, Corey. After everything I've taught you over the first 5 years, I know you. Now you're gonna have Lacy ahead of McFadden.
Right now, I got McFadden at 34. He's one spot under Lamar Miller. And one
dude,
spot
come
and
on,
one
spot. Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller sucks, Greg.
30s,
please,
dude.
You're gonna
Lamar
put Darren McFadden behind
you
Lamar Miller?
Draft Lamar Miller on Sunday, Greg.
I
you have to.
I really
think. Hold on. You're saying I'm outrageous. To put Lamar Miller that low is completely outrageous. I think I know why he's doing this. I know why you're doing this, though.
What is Lamar Miller going to do?
Hold on. I know why you're doing this. I've seen you do this before. You had Lamar Miller ranked fourth at running back last year, and he burned you, and he burned you.
That's
so you butt went down the board.
I did not have him fourth at running back last year.
I googled your ranks from last year and you had Lamar Miller from number four on Google. On Google, and I'll show them to you. Yes, you did. And he burned you.
If I had Lamar Miller at four last year, somebody slipped something in my cup.
Who do you have ahead of Lamar Miller? Please tell me.
Who the players I have ahead of?
Yeah.
I have.
Give me like three guys.
I have Corey Parsons' 2016 rankings.
Where are they at?
Number four, Lamar Miller. Scott is 1,000% correct.
He burned Corey, and Corey's mad at him. That's why he
Scott Engel is 1,000%.
You're a jilted lover.
That's not correct, because I would never have Adrian
that's your name
that.
Behind
Scotty
there.
Scotty went deep diving here. Scotty found
well,
out
who
some,
do you have right
Scott
ahead of Lamar Miller?
Scott brought it.
Yeah. Who do you have right ahead of Lamar Miller?
I think this has been. I think somebody did something to this. Who do I have ahead? I got Derrick Henry ahead of him.
Oh my God! The guy doesn't even start.
Is Lamar Miller going to start?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Lamar Miller is going to be in a timeshare, and guess what? All he's going to be doing is catching passes. The kid Foreman is going to be running the rock and scoring the touchdowns.
What is Derrick Henry going to do behind DeMarco Murray? Come on.
Huh?
What is Derrick Henry going to do? Come on.
Who else?
He's
going to
produce more than Lamar Miller. Who else?
I got Jaquizz ahead of Lamar Miller.
Oh, my God.
I got LeGarrette Blount ahead of Lamar Miller.
You just
I got Eddie Lacy ahead of Lamar Miller.
Oh, my Lord. You hate Eddie Lacy.
And I hate Lamar Miller.
You
not
hate him more than Lacy.
Unbelievable.
It sounds personal. You had him ranked four last year. He jilted you.
I got Mark Ingram ahead of him. I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to send a message to my people.
It's
leave
too much
Lamar
of a message.
Miller, bum ass
you,
on the board.
You tell me I get on a hill. You're on a way higher hill than I've ever been.
I'm allowed to do that too, Scott.
I don't know. This is interesting. Has the teacher become the student or vice versa?
No,
I don't know. What's
he's
going
still the
back.
Student with that.
The teacher is back.
It's like the end of Rocky III, right? Like it's Rocky and Apollo. You
why do we have
I'm
to make references
fighter.
To movies from 40 years ago?
I'm sorry, sheep, that you only follow what's
no,
you know,
Scott,
that,
I
that's
like
a historic franchise.
I'd like to see movies within the last
people,
two decades.
People listen
decades.
To music other than Taylor Swift and watch what, you know. You don't know anything like before like 2010.
Scott, give me something before 1980.
That's a legendary movie series that everybody knows about. It doesn't matter when
everyone
it came
knows,
out.
Everyone knows as much as you do for sure about Rocky.
A lot of people do.
Let's look to Kenny from Philly. Kenny, what's going on?
How you doing there, boy?
I'm doing fantastic.
What's going on here, you sat one of poke.
Hey, Scott, you okay today, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good. I just worried about Corey now. I'm going to have to teach him all over again after he's got Lamar Miller too low.
Now, one thing for sure, two things for certain. Darren McFadden is not getting the ball in the goal line. Stay away. Pick up Alpha Morris. Dez gets a pick up with the Elliott being out a couple games. Those two are getting the ball around the goal line, so... Don't sell on Darren McFadden. Please don't.
I agree. And that's another thing. That 1 yard touchdown pass that Dez Bryant is notorious for, that's back in the repertoire right now. Dez Bryant's a double digit touchdown wide receiver.
I'll tell you his value also goes up that we have not spoken about. Dak Prescott. Because Dak Prescott is going to find himself running the ball more around the goal line, I believe.
What do you guys think of Uncle Rico Gathers?
Yo, I think you should draft him. I think we finally got a tight end in Dallas, not named Jason Witten, that Jason Witten is going to allow to stay in Dallas. This kid Gathers can play. He's a dollar make you holler guy. I like him.
I like him in a dynasty league.
I prefer, oh, my God.
What?
Nothing. Just the control room.
I prefer him in the Dynasty League as well, Scotty. I remember Rico Gathers from Baylor basketball. I lost money on Rico Gathers before. But I'm not going to waste when I lose money him, again. Tell you that
I
much.
Can't see drafting him because I would have too many guys ahead of him, but I like him in a Dynasty League.
I'm not going to draft him either because I think we drafted Martellus Bennett when he was behind Jason Witten. We drafted Gavin Escobar when he was behind Jason Witten. I'm not drafting Rico Gathers when he's behind Jason Witten.
Look, you look at the preseason, and some things are viable, some things are not. I wouldn't draft Rico Gathers this year, but for long term, it's something, you know, because like we say, Jason Witten can't play forever, and he's obviously learning behind Jason Witten.
He's someone I'm definitely going to continue to monitor throughout this preseason. I kind of want him to be real because I want to use the name Uncle Rico, you know. So
I don't think this is the year.
I could throw a football over that mountain.
I don't think this is the year that we see it happen. Obviously, necessarily for Rico Gathers, but yeah, what,
Dynasty.
Yeah, Dynasty him in. Dynasty him in. I said that. Do you guys agree that Dak Prescott's value goes up, Matt?
I would think so. I think he's towards at the goal line. He's definitely more of an option now. He's definitely more of a weapon, and you know. Look, I agree. Look, as I said earlier, the whole thing is I own Zeke on one league. That's the fishbowl. In the 15 NFFC drafts I've done, I own zero Zeke. I haven't had to draft him. I own one share of McFadden in the 12th. So I've been able to build my team without them. I'm still interested in Zeke, but like as I mentioned, it's got to be in the right scenario, right situation.
More interceptions, more rushing touchdowns for Dak Prescott. The statistical profile changes. Still 10 top 10 fantasy quarterback.
And that's what we're looking for, obviously. Yeah. That's kind of what Corey's talking about when you're saying not drafting Andrew Luck where he's going. You literally get Dak Prescott 7 rounds later. So
I believe the kid is poised enough to where he loses Zeke that, you know, that he's going to take it on his shoulders. It'll be different for him. I think he throws more than a dozen interceptions, but he rushes for some touchdowns.
I'll ask Corey when we come back how high Dez Bryant's value goes up now as well, perhaps with the offense changing just a little bit. More NFL headlines coming your way next. Hey, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, this right here, this is the Roto Experts in the morning. Happy to have you aboard on the program. Clapping it up, huh?
Yeah, you know why? Because it's a good day, because the Fantasy Sports TV Network, FNTSY, goes live on Dish Network today.
Absolutely. Tonight, you'll be able to catch the Fantasy Football Frenzy, Corey Parson, Matt Modica in the house looking good on Dish Network tonight. Make sure you check that out. Also, the Lineup Lock program with Dave Martinez and Tony Sincotta. That will also be live, Dish Network.
Starting 4 p.m. Eastern time. Yes.
4 p.m. Eastern time today. Make sure you check that out.
Am I melanated enough for my Dish Network debut? Because I was just looking for some, you know, some lotion. But nobody seems to have any. I want to make sure that I'm, you know, young Billy D. You feel what I'm saying?
You want to feel your skin?
No, you don't have to touch. You know what I'm saying?
How do I know you're properly
No, I'm just
right.
Making sure I'm melanated.
A young Billy D is setting that bar high. I like it.
I just want to make sure. Ashley, am I good, baby?
Hey, Corey, before we went to the break, I asked you about Dez Bryant. And
yeah,
if we could
my
see
man.
An uptick in him. Now, we've discussed this before. The cornerback rankings against Dez Bryant, it's the toughest in the NFL to start off the year.
I'm not worried about that. That's the last thing on my mind is the cornerback lining up on the opposite side of Dez Bryant. Dez is a generational player. I'm not worried about the corner, Chris Harris and those dudes. Dez Bryant, pound for pound, you know how Dez Bryant get down. He don't let no cornerback take no get no work on him, so I'm not concerned with that. I'm not worried about that. I moved Dez up over the weekend. He is wide receiver 5 in my rankings. The fact that he's going in the back end of the second, one of the biggest steals on the board.
Whoa. I have
Dez at 8. I'm very high on him. I wouldn't say he's generational, that every cornerback is not going to be able to do it against him, because I'm not going to worry about that, because Dez is the most uncoverable red zone receiver in all of the NFL. But the quarterback is not always going to win the battle. When you have a top cornerback going against a top wide receiver like that, each of them are going to get theirs, I believe. So you can't draft scared like that. The other thing about Dez is, even before this happened, I love Dez. Okay, I think he's a great early second round pick. If you want to jump and do an end of the first round, I'm fine with it too. The big thing for Dez is that is that there's an off season where he can completely focus on football. No contract distractions, no injuries. He is going to come in and play so well this year.
How you know that, Scott? How you know his baby mama ain't tripping? You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like,
nothing
I'm
that,
sick of this
sure.
damn.
Nothing,
you're sitting
nothing
around
that
here
I can
these
see.
Damn sneakers all over the place. You don't know what's going on in Dez Bryant household, Scott.
Dez Bryant
woman can be like, I am sick of this, Dez. You don't know that.
Look, when you come to work, right?
Yeah.
You put everything aside and you work, right?
Yeah.
So at his bad example. My snap just went. When Matt Modica comes to work, he just focuses on his work, right?
Job.
He does a fine job. What I'm saying is, from a work perspective, okay, he has no distractions. There's no contracts. There's no injuries. That's big for Dez.
But what about I'll use a baseball one. Well, like Prince Fielder had that divorce going on that we
sure,
didn't know about.
Sure.
And that season tank. So that.
Well,
look, like Corey says, there's things that we don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't know that any of that's happening.
I'm
going to
play the contrarian with you guys. The Cowboys are going now. Last season, everything went right. Perfect year for them.
Great year.
This season, as you say, now everybody's got tape on Dak, too, as you like to say, with like Jordan Howard.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody hit tape on him. They got a first place schedule. They do. Hey, look, it's just not going to be as. And if Zeke is not there, that's a paramount loss. I mean, this guy was amazing last year. And if Corey's saying that, what's his name? Is toast. And then you put an Alfred Morris in there. I mean,
Alfred Morris can play. It's not really. See,
he was
I'm
talking
not,
about getting cut though. They were talking
I'm
about
not
cutting
worried
him.
About because he can't catch the football and he can't play special teams. I'm not worried about the See, here's the thing. They're still going to control the clock. They still going to control tempo. They still got the best O-line. They still going to control tempo. They still got
Dez
Bryant.
You said McFadden's a bum, though. Can they control clock with Darren McFadden?
He's good enough to get you. He's good enough to pile along some first downs. He doesn't have the game-breaking ability that Ezekiel Elliott has, but very few people
do.
But Scott, he can push the pile. Scott, he can keep a drive going first down.
So that doesn't sound like a bum. Is he a bum or is he adequate? Which is it?
He can do that because of the offensive line. See what he can't do that Zeke can do? See, Zeke going to break a 40-yarder.
Nobody's comparing him to Zeke, though, Corey.
Remember the play against Pittsburgh? Zeke come out the backfield, catch that screen. He's up the sideline. He's going to
Zeke is a superstar.
Darren McFadden going to run out of bounds.
Look, Neil, but you said Zeke is a superstar. Nobody's saying that. But you were coming out and saying Darren McFadden's, a bum to the point where you like Rod Smith, the guy who's been on a fringe
like
of NFL
Smith.
Rosters.
Rod
Smith and Alfred Morris. Now you're saying Darren McFadden was an outright bum. Now you're saying he's
his
adequate.
Stock is
which
gonna
one
be
is
too
it?
High, wait, Scott, but he's good for a timeshare.
One thing you guys haven't mentioned with the loss of Zeke. Say Zeke's out those 6 games. We're going to give him the 6 games for this argument. Now they don't have to key on that run as much.
Oh,
yes.
I wouldn't say that, man. Dallas Cowboys still going to run the football, and you still got to pay attention. That offense
you
got to
pay
still,
attention, but
that
it's
offense
just,
is going
to
run through.
Difference
that offense
to
is
what
going
Matt
to run
is saying,
that
though. I know
line.
What Matt
you,
is saying.
You don't think
Matt
that Dez is going to get more attention now?
Huh?
They had Zeke and Dez. Now they don't have Zeke.
Just
you
look
don't
back
think
to two, just look back to 2015. The Dallas Cowboys.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, Matt.
Look, I like that
stack the box. They're still going to be
interceptions last year.
It's still going to be 8-man fronts. Defense is still going to stack the block.
Wait a minute. You're still, hold on. You're not making any
because
sense, Corey.
Because that's what they're
going to
do.
You
Scott,
just said Darren McFadden
the
was
football.
A bum, what's and now they're going to have 8-man fronts against them?
Yeah, because Dallas going to run the ball,
about?
Scott, because they're going to run the ball.
I think they can run the ball enough to keep the defense honest.
That's
yes.
what I'm saying. They're going to
yes.
run the ball enough
but,
to keep the defense honest.
But what
honest.
He is saying, though, is that there's no longer a superstar back there.
No,
and he's
not.
Right.
You're right. It's not a superstar back there,
know.
But it's a guy
you, you've
back there.
You've made
that
the argument
the
about what Marty Schottenheimer says about the quarterback in year two. And I like Dak. I think, you know, he'll get some more goal line carries.
Rushing touchdowns,
stuff like that.
He's mobile,
but look,
yeah.
They are going up against it's a first place schedule. I understand.
They were a first
schedule.
Place team last year. They won 13
but
games.
But there's always a big difference. Look at Carolina when they had that year. They played nobody. And then they had the first place.
This is not. This is totally different than what went
but
down.
You, but
Carolina was.
I'm lost here where it's like, he's a bum, but that. They're he still going to have eight
Corey, you sound too much like
a
fan.
And Dez is just going to be left alone one-on-one.
He can, but that doesn't make a difference if you put somebody over the top of Dez. He's still going to beat you.
See, you sounded like a fan. You sounded like a fan.
Wait a minute. Wait, where do you have Dez Bryant ranked?
Dez Bryant, I have him 10th.
Where you got Dez Bryant ranked?
I love Dez. I got him 8th.
All right. So Dez Bryant is still a top wide receiver.
I'm just putting out the other points where you got to say, you have to at least, look, you could say Dez is a transitional player and all that, but he does have the toughest cornerback schedule, now along with Sammy Watkins if they joined him. Okay. So he does have that. You don't have your superstar running back, and you have a sophomore quarterback, who I do like, but he's a sophomore quarterback who's going to throw more than 4 interceptions, especially now that they don't have that running back.
I say at least triples it.
I don't think that's wrong. Yeah. I don't. I think there's question marks for Dez, but where I have him also at 8, Scott, for the record.
I got him Dez at 10. I'm sorry, Dak at 10.
You had Dez at 8. That's what I said. Yes. I also have him at 8 with you, and I don't really...
wrong three-letter guy.
I don't really see him moving any. I can't really move him down. I'm not moving him up. He's kind of just going to sit here at this 8 spot for me. But I think you're right, Matt. I think the expectations have to be kind of set somewhere.
I mean, I had him 9th, and I was I was going with him before this. I mean, I'm a Doug Baldwin guy.
Sure.
I got Baldwin 9. I've had Dez 10. This is how it's been the whole time.
Sure.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton has been the one guy that maybe slipped one spot because of this Andrew Luck thing, and I haven't taken him over the last couple of weeks if I've been drafting, just because I own the one share. And if I'm taking Luck now, I'm probably just going to take T.Y. Hilton in the second round.
Maybe sure.
Get a few picks, a discount, not much, but look, I like Dez. I have no problem taking him after that turn.
Yeah.
But I'm just pointing out that there is some concerns here we have to look at.
Now, Corey.
Yeah, our defense is, sorry, Greg. Our defense is going to say, there's no longer a Zeke back there. Let's focus on shutting down Dak and Dez. I see where you're coming from.
Corey, you said you have Dez as your number 5 overall wide receiver. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Number 5. He's right behind A.J. Green at 4.
Right behind A.J. Green at 4, which means...
Do you have him ahead of Julio?
You have him ahead of Julio Jones.
Julio's bum foot. I have him ahead of Julio's bum foot.
You have him ahead of, I guess that means Jordy and Michael Thomas as well, right?
He's ahead of Jordy and Michael Thomas as well.
Okay.
I got him just behind Jordy and Michael Thomas.
As do I.
Yeah.
As do I. But we'll see. You know,
I think he's going to have a great year, too.
Ultimately, we're picking hairs on top wide receivers. That is what we have to do, obviously. That's how it's how you win. But Corey likes Dez top 5. No one's gonna argue with him when you take him 4 spots earlier than I would, right? Like, that's not an argument we're going to make.
The ranking didn't change for me. So he went up 1 spot. You know what I'm saying? So he was there.
Who did he pass?
And that he passed Jordy.
He passed Jordy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shout out to Jordy Nelson.
Shout out.
Thank you.
All right. Shout out to you. See,
the reason I'm going to go, another reason I'm going to take Jordy and Michael Thomas ahead of Dez is I'm going to look at the quarterback.
Sam. Sure.
And I'm not saying I don't like Dak, but Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, their targets are just much more better. They have that more dynamic passing offenses, too. So that's why those guys are.
If you say Dez is a generational player, one scout told Pro Football Weekly that Michael Thomas is like has more speed than any big receiver that they've had in a long time, that he's Marcus Colston with speed.
Let's do it. Let me see him do it again.
I think he will. They traded away Brandon Cooks.
He did it 1 year.
They traded
let him
away
come
Brandon
back and
Cooks.
Do it again, and I'll crown him. I'm not ready to crown him after 12 games.
Are you ready to crown Dak Prescott? Are you ready to crown Dak Prescott?
The NFL's Rookie of the Year? Am I ready to
now
crown
the
NFL rookie of the year?
You won't crown Thomas, but you'll crown Dak. Complete bias, ladies and gentlemen. Complete bias.
You ask yourself
complete
that
bias.
We'll come back, wrap up the Roto Experts in the morning, sending you into the Fantasy Football Frenzy next. Final few minutes here of the Roto Experts in the morning. Matt Modica, Scott Angle, Corey Parson. Up next, it's Fantasy Football Frenzy with Matt, Corey, and Jake. I know the guys are getting a flex a little bit this week, and we're going to get a flex tomorrow on the show, kind of trying to break it down. We had a lot of big news I wanted to get into today, so I wanted to save flex, give it its proper time. We'll do that tomorrow on the Roto Experts in the Morning. A couple of notes we did not get to on today's show quite yet that are worth bringing up. It's Leonard Fournette having a bit of a foot injury. Mm-hmm. And not just saying, hey, we'll be back tomorrow. Were they cautious with this at Doug Marrone and the Jaguars? How concerned are you, Matt, about Leonard Fournette?
I am concerned. I'm very concerned about this. This is not a good thing. He's had these issues in the past. So this is what's scary. It's, you know, I was willing to take that plunge on him. I was high on him. But this is something that is concerning for me.
Yeah, I think any time that, you know, you're talking about a running back and his wheel, you certainly got to take some significance on it. We'll ask Dr. A about it later this week. Corey can check on the Inside Injuries app to see what...
Why I got to check? Why can't you check?
Because you always do it. You always volunteer to do it.
Why don't you pull out your phone and you check the Inside Injuries app for once, Scott? Why don't you do that,
I always do that. But you like to bring it up, so I was going to give you something to do, you know? It's like, because you obviously need something to do. But, you know, we'll find out from Dr. A, but I think, you know, any time a running back has a hurt wheel, it's a significance to it.
I love you, Scotty.
I love you, too.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll say this about the running back position.
Don't touch me, though. Don't touch me. Touch your tip.
I got money.
More and more comfortable waiting for that third round running back list. The Gurleys and the Fournettes now, the end of that second. I'd rather take these rookies in that middle to late, or if Isaiah Crowell is there in the third round, middle third, I like that. But
do you like Crowell enough to drag him into the second?
I'm probably not going to do that.
Okay.
I can't either. I'm starting to feel more
optimistic. See, I don't
like
the fact that you don't like that, Scott, because I don't think I like where you drafted Jay Ajayi this weekend. That bothered me.
You'll have to live with it.
I think it bothered you a little bit too, though.
If it bothered me, I wouldn't have done it.
But Scott, are you concerned that he's missed 2 weeks now with the concussion? Reports that maybe he had a setback in the protocol.
The Dolphins already said he's out of the protocol.
Yeah,
it's a preseason injury. I'm not going to worry about that right now. What's interesting, though, we talk about this Fournette stuff, though. This is why, and I'm not saying necessarily me, but this is why people want to draft closer to the season, because they feel like they know all this information. Although if you draft earlier, as Corey says, you know, you can get values. There are buying opportunities. There's two sides to it.
What if you draft tonight and get Zeke in the third, and then he'd be like, I'm taking NFL to court, and he plays 16 games and break the rushing record? On his way to an MVP season.
That statement's destined.
Leonard Fournette wasn't the only Jaguar to get hurt. Marquise Lee also got hurt.
He was carted off
over the weekend. Carted off. That it's not as serious as they once thought. But Allen Hurns could be creeping up draft boards because of that. Although
I hope not.
What about if I heard it's not as serious, which is good, because I do kind of like Lee for bench depth. But D.D. Westbrook, you know, the Biletnikoff winner, we catch like a 42-yard bomb in the preseason game. Just somebody, you know, write in your little notebook, put him on a watch list.
In the AFC-only league.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to go out and draft them. But these are just players. If a guy like Lee is gone, you know.
It could be
Kenny Galladay had a heck of a game yesterday.
Yeah, Kenny Galladay had a brilliant game. And the hype is just going to continue to rise in the third wide receiver in Detroit.
I was taking him in the 15th. I took him in the 15th round of the Beat Chris List League on August 3rd. I don't think that's going to be happening.
Probably not.
No. He's probably going to be in the 10th now.
Corey, what's going on the Fantasy Football Frenzy next?
Coming up on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, review some of the stuff that took place over the weekend in these preseason games and stuff like that. We'll go over the Zeke stuff again once, of course. And obviously, we are debuting on Dish Network, Channel 266. So right now, I'm checking to make sure that our young Billy D about to make his debut. You better be careful out there.
All I know is on the BFFs today.
Yes.
Or this week, I want to hear Satisfied. Eric Young going, do.
For Matt Modica, for Scott Engel, and for Corey Parson, my name is
Checking
Greg
myself
Sussman.
Out
the
right
Frenzy
now.
Is up next. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a fantastic afternoon. Bye-bye.